was a little, people were dressing more like same, like everybody dressed alike and everybody had the same haircut and he was expected to do things. And I wasn't too happy about it.
Okay. You were nonconformist, let's put it that way.
I guess, yes.
Well, that's great. And did your art manifest when you were in Japan, or is it something you've developed?
I was painting a lot, and that my mother was very strict, and that was the only thing she praised me about, my paintings. And I came to the United States and kind of fell in love with the San Francisco Art Institute.
Oh, yes.
One on Chestnut Street.
Oh, the one, yes.
Yeah. I wasn't here to look for a school, but I kind of really fell in love with it. And I showed my work. They liked me, and I started going there, and... You know the school, and
yes,
it's
yeah.
very cutting edge. I mean, it's changing now, but I went like 86, and it was like the tail end of really cutting edge scene going on, and a lot of performances and attitudes, and I got very immersed to it. And the Art Institute, I think they failed to catch on to the computer generation thing because they didn't want to do anything graphic. So they were wanted to keep the fine art. They didn't realize that graphic could become fine art. I think they lost the race then.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I know. Stacey Garfinkel. I know she's a lecturer there. I think now.
Okay.
But isn't that interesting? How I suppose that's vision or one. What does that? What changes can change an institution that's suddenly vibrant and then it loses its way?
Yeah, I remember we had a plan of like merging with CCAC back then. Now it's CCA, and we were all protesting against becoming like, you know, emerged with a school that has the craft at the end. We did not like that. But now they dropped in, and now they're doing really well. They are buying all the buildings. I think they even bought our old building for the graduate studio.
Really?
Yeah, I think
oh,
so.
Dear. Oh, dear. Oh, well. Now, let us know, what materials do you work in? What is your medium that you like to work in as an artist?
Now I paint with acrylics because I like watercolor. That's what I did a lot when I was younger. And that's my dog. And I use acrylic, like half watercolor and oil, and I like that it dries fast. And but at school, I because of the influence of the Art Institute, I started to do like edible work.
Edible?
Yeah, like I painted on cantaloupes and made some cakes because I was trying not to make things that at last. That it was clutter up my apartment. I was trying to, like, as long as it's the best way to document my work was to be in people's memories instead of something tangible, which is going to be destroyed sometime, like in even any masterpiece, even the earth is going to be gone sometime. So I thought... The fact to be non-destructible documentation. So I was going that phase, but it still had a painting aspect. And I think I really like to paint. I am I don't want to call myself a painter so much. I want to call myself artist, but I do like painting a lot.
Yeah.
And the drawing.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? I suppose, I mean, it can't be a painful process, I mean, for you. It's something you enjoy, you know. I mean, it must be difficult sometimes when it's just not working, I suppose, what you're trying to do, but...
I use a lot of, I need my paintings because the difficulty from the everyday life here, like, I'm a minority, and it's hard living here, and like covert racism, and just working, and just being in a different culture. Like, I was a little nervous because sometimes English and Japanese has different meanings, and I might be misunderstood just because I would directly translate for my language, and so people sometimes take me wrong, and So there's a lot of sadness. I mean, when people see my paintings, and they see happy and jazzy and whimsy, but there's a lot of sadness and disappointments that it's feeding the energy to it. I'm trying to go into my ideal world that everything is very unstupid. That all the creatures are very intellectual and smart and very have a love to each other and respect and still innocent. That's the kind of world that I'm making, and I meet these little things that makes me really happy, and they help me paint.
Within that world, that you surround yourself with that and gives you that place to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's sort of almost a Winnie the Pooh type of world, in a way.
There's a lot of sometimes anger is even in there, but it doesn't really directly show it to people. But
well, essentially, looking at color is a very important thing for you. You have some, beautiful, bold colors in your acrylics. They're not per se subdued. So,
those are thumbnails. Is the part? Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, they're beautiful work. And so, can you say pick one and say, tell us about it? You know, what you felt during that painting? What was in that painting for you?
I usually start like a kind of dialogue with my paintings, and it would just kind of start leading. And sometimes I can't start, then I would start scribbling, or I used to let him drew on it when he was a little, and my son when he was a little, or like put some Japanese poetry. This is the one that I use. That's an old one. It's 2004. It's called Smell of the Color. But it's from the... I used the Japanese ancient alphabet. It's also poetry. It used one letter, but it's also a poetry. And it says, like, color smells, although, but it falls. And there's a lot of different translations I found on the web. But I directly translated, like, a literal translation, and use that for inspiration, but that's not all about it. It's just kind of painting kind of takes me away, and I just kind of do as they tell me to do.
Well, that's the wonders of art, isn't it? It's no one way. I mean, that's the beauty of it. Yeah. It's individual.
Yeah, and like that one, I just did it, but I paint at night, and then I don't know how I did it next morning. And sometimes it's scary to re-enter new work because I don't remember how I did it. But it just...
Oh, really? So almost not trance-like, but you're so focused that it's not... you're in it, not seeing it.
Yeah, it's not manipulated too much. But... it's usually okay. And I learned the way that from my friend that he passed away already, but he told me just try not to make something good or try to show it to people something good. Just do it.
Now, just looking at your statement that you've put on at the Sebastopol Library, I like the. The first sentence where you say I'm a Tokyo native, internally based artist. I looked at it, I thought, oh, is that a mistake? Does she mean internationally based? But
no.
I suddenly really no. That was a meaningful word, internally based artist.
Well, I think coming here and being immersed to the art school, it kind of caused me to have a cultural shock when I went back. I came here when I was 18, and I went back like when I was 25, and I didn't learn how to act and speak properly as a grown-up Japanese woman. And I mean, if I was from America and I look like American person, they would just be okay, and I can. But I look Japanese. I am right. Japanese, and I'm acting kind of strange, and
yeah.
And it was difficult, and I became like it's an old folktale, the bat and the animals and the birds are having war, and the bat when the birds start winning, the bat goes to the. Birds and when the animals start winning, the bat went to the animals, and at the end, and he couldn't really belong to anybody else. And I felt like that. Like I felt like I was like looking from outside to my own country, to my own culture, and I feel like that here too.
Right.
And I really had to find my place within. So that's why.
Yeah. I like it.
Thank you.
That's a good way of saying it, you know. And and now when you work, when you're in your studio, is this, or do you have a studio? Is this something you just sit up on the kitchen table or
I do that sometimes when I'm too cold in the mm-hmm. winter, but I go to garage. We have a garage. We made it into a studio, and so mm-hmm. that's where I paint.
Yeah. Oh, good. And but obviously, you know, the works you do aren't sort of per se still life or things that you sit and paint from real life. They are, you know, very imaginative. I mean, like that the one of the dog there, that elephant one. I really liked at the library. That one, you got some really good.
Which elephant? With the shoes.
One. Yeah, the elephant with the shoes. Yeah, I like that one, yeah.
Elephant meets the sky god.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I look at things when I paint. Like, I look at nature to study when I paint. Like, if I'm doing something, I always when I know what I'm painting, I would look at the nature. Mm-hmm. I looked at some shoes then.
Okay. Okay, it all somehow works in.
Yeah.
Now, tell people, now, on the, let's see, it's coming up this coming week.
Tuesday.
You're going to be giving a talk at the Sebastopol Library.
7:15, I think.
Okay, I think I've got it here somewhere.
Yeah, it's right.
Have I lost it? Down here, yes. 7:15, October 19th on Tuesday. And you call it Alchemy Through Art. And can you give us a little background?
There was a little misunderstanding for that naming. I have another job which I really like. Oh, yeah. I work for a center called Wellness and Advocacy that specializes for people with mental health difficulties, and it's a peer-run center. And I made this slideshow that is... It talks about how stigma works and how you can be free of your discrimination and using fine art. And we were contemplating, should we do this slideshow, because it's very popular to when I give, and I misunderstood that's what they wanted, or and it just somehow got on a postcard, and it's called Alchemy, Mind Alchemy Through Art, because by thinking creatively, anything can be changed by context, and your mind can be context, and that's how you can look at people. And so, but I wanted to separate my paid work and the painting world, but I think I started to realize I can't really separate it. So I'm now happy with that title.
Yeah.
Even though it's just.
But now, your work with the Wellness Center, can you explain who is it for? And
So the people who receive the mental health services in Sonoma County, they're allowed to become a member, and it's a self-help center, and it's peer-run, so people who work there should have some kind of mental health difficulties, and myself too, and I run the art room, and I kind of made up my work, and it's just running by itself, and but it's a great place. I meet like very talented artists or people who never thought that they could do art, and they're this mixture of people, and I really like it. And just people are, this is a place that you don't gauge people with income or kind of car, because pretty much everybody have little or nothing. So yeah. we're just there as people, and
yeah.
they're very like innocent people there, and once you're sincere and they'll open up and start showing this beautiful part of them, and they just feed me so much that when I'm sincere, and they give it back to me, and it's been really helpful to me, and I'm very happy to be there.
Oh, that's lovely. That's the thing. It's with the budget cuts and things that are going on. I mean, the services are being cut back, and some things can be so simple and basic, a need, isn't it? Just that connection with other people, and just with a little focus of, you know, something to, you know, for the creativity. To
yeah,
bring
and
the
we
creativity
have also
out.
A computer lab and gardening, and we have a community garden. And
oh, where's that located?
It's on Sinead Street. 3400 Sinead Street. It's by the Sutter Hospital.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's tucked in and near the bird rescue center, so people walk with those hurt wild birds. And
oh,
we
yeah.
see the birds, too. And it's a very nice place.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. That's, you know, it's nice to have that whole other world for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
And also, I'm kind of used to seeing something different, because I went to the art school and all this crazy stuff happened, and I can put it in like, well, that's kind of different and that's kind of interesting. Like, it's hard to really surprise me and shock me, because I'm sort of used to that kind of different behaviors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's it. Now, some of your paintings, do you get, you know, what type of reactions do you get? What do people see? I mean, you know, something you just, you know.
From there or the...
Yeah, or from any, you haven't done too many exhibits, is
no,
that?
No, yeah. I'm not good at promoting myself. I got lucky when I was giving this speech. There's somebody from the Sebastopol Library Committee, she saw it, and I had some of my paintings in the slideshow, and she really liked them, so she gave me the show.
Oh, lovely. That was a very good choice.
Yes.
And it's a very nice combination with Charles Churchill's works as well.
Yes, we complement each other very well, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, both very different work, but somehow they really go well there together.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah.
I'm really lucky to get to know him too.
Yes, indeed. You were at the his talk earlier this week, I heard.
Yeah, I went and listened, but I got a little nervous afterwards. But it was interesting, because the way he came, and he started from JC, but I went to... the school, and then when I start living in Santa Rosa, I start taking some JC's art classes for the studio space, not for training, and it was very difficult, because some teacher wanted me to be a student.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they requested me to be their student.
Oh.
But the things that they were doing wasn't really going along with what I wanted to do, but some teacher instructor let me do whatever I liked, and but I remember when I was painting at the JC, and some older lady came to me and she said, I used to think something like this, anybody could paint, like when I was painting. And But now that I'm taking this class, I can tell it's hard.
Right. Exactly. Isn't that the thing? Well, that's the thing, isn't it? When it looks easy, you know that's when it's the hardest, I think.
I think some people thought that it was abstract painting.
Hmm.
Even I have all the figures, because they can't really understand what exactly it is. They just call it abstract.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not abstract painting, but...
Do you have a name for it? Is there something you like to call it?
My painting style?
Yeah.
Pseudo-realism.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I like that. And are there other practitioners in that field? Other people who do that type of style? Do you
this?
Know? Yeah.
I don't understand what that means.
Other artists who work in a similar style in pseudo-realism.
No, I made that term.
Oh, okay, that's what I was wondering. Okay. It's a unique one-off.
I'm sorry, my husband made that.
Okay.
Well, he shouldn't be eating that.
Credit where credit's due. I mean, that's important.
Yeah,
well done.
We met at the art school, and he has a vast knowledge of art, and I'm not a book smart, so I rely on his knowledge a lot.
Well, he's good at bluffing, so you believe him anyway. Well, thank you, Naomi.
Thank you.
Murakami. And I hope everyone goes to the Sebastopol Library coming up this Tuesday at 7:15. She'll be giving her talk.
Thank you so much.
And also, it's open every day except... it's open every day, the exhibit.
I think it's
at the library. Or maybe not Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's the budget cut.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's...
have to close Sundays.
That's right. It's, Monday through Saturday, budget cut, presuming. But, yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, a pleasure. And lovely work. And really, really keep doing it. And keep it, and don't be shy about it. Have exhibits, it's okay.
Yeah, I don't know how to.
Thank you.
Thank you.